Hi, and welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Valerie Smaldone with Leslie Gold. Ed Asner is an extremely accomplished actor who has many credits to his name. He is a 7-time Emmy Award-winning TV icon, known for his role as Lou Grant in The Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Here.
Well, you look so sad when you left on Friday that I took some money out of petty cash and I bought you a little gift.
Oh, Mr. Grant, no little gift is going to cheer me up.
Don't be so sure. There was 800 bucks in petty cash.
One of the most honored actors in television history, with 16 Emmy nominations, 5 Golden Globe Awards, and a Lifetime Achievement Award from the Screen Actors Guild, which he served as national president for 2 terms. Now get ready, because Mr. Ed Asner will be returning to New York stage to perform A Man and His Prostate. Yep, that's the name of it, at the Metropolitan Room in January. Really looking forward to it. Welcome to America Weekend, Ed.
Thank you, Valerie. It's good to be with you.
Well, I have to tell you, it's an interesting title, obviously. It sort of grabs attention. You have been in countless television shows and movies. You've done a great deal of voiceover work. You're constantly busy. Why did you decide to perform in this piece called A Man and His Prostate?
It's funny.
And you're funny.
Oh, well, I try to be funny. I try to execute the humor in the piece. It's written by Ed Weinberger, who's one of the producer writers of the Mary Tyler Moore Show and many other shows. And after a long experience with Johnny Carson as well. And this is based on his own personal vicissitudes, we'll call them, on a trip to Italy with his wife. And it's both informational and humorous. And I can't think of anything more apt than information delivered in that way.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to think of it as the male response to the vagina dialogue monologue.
Right. Right, equal time, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So he goes to Italy.
And we boys are so deprived, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. What happened with Ed when he was in Italy? Did he have a particular incident that caused him to go to a doctor? What exactly happened?
He had to resort to the care of Italian doctors, and he goes on at great length that points out the difference between his salubrious stay with them as opposed to what he might have experienced with American doctors.
Okay. So did he approach you to do this piece, or did you say, I want to have a crack at it?
He approached me.
Right. You have performed this at the Malibu Playhouse, is that right?
That's right.
What?
And at the Falcon, where you put on an initial performance, the Falcon Theater here.
Okay. So now you've done the piece. Tell me a little bit about your experience performing this so far in front of live audiences.
It was very fresh territory. It was an untried piece, and it was like walking through a minefield each step of the way, seeing what worked, what didn't work. And Ed would modify it with each time we did it. I had the misfortune when we went to the Malibu Playhouse. I arrived there, and I'm about 10 minutes before time to get into whatever wardrobe I'm wearing. And I was driven in my Prius.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in the passenger side. I got out and I was standing there talking, and it was time to go in, and I slammed the door, and a word to the cautious. The bottom of the Prius door is a sharp corner. I slammed it on my leg.
Ooh.
And without knowing it, I cut it, and and not until I felt warmth of the blood did I realize something had happened. I looked down, and it was a wide-open gash and bleeding profusely.
Oh, my goodness.
So we said, well, we've got to get it fixed. So So I was taken to an early warning place in Malibu.
Mm-hmm.
And they put in 11 stitches and came back. And unfortunately, the audience had to wait. And the son of the producers at the Malibu Playhouse was training to be a stand-up comedian. So he forced himself quite well on the audience and kept them mildly bemused until I got back and could start the show.
That's some story.
Hour late.
Wow, and you did it. You did it that evening.
Yeah, it went well.
I'm glad it went well. I'm sorry to hear about that mishap.
And well, a little bleeding sometimes wakes you up, you know.
I guess so. Well, let's hope nothing like that happens in New York when you come to town to do this for a couple of performances.
I promise it won't.
I'm glad to hear that. I want you to be well. So this
you
is.
You won't cut me in New York, will you?
Not me, no, of course not. Absolutely not. So what's it like for you to perform this in front of a live audience? As you said, going through the minefield of a new piece of material, because, you know, it's an interesting topic, right? One wouldn't expect a piece like this.
That's what you hear
what
here
kind
on
of
America Weekend, by
got?
The way.
I'm Valerie Smoldo.
Leslie Gold. How good it goes. They like it. It swims. It swims. I'm never sure for the each time I had to be proven, and the same will occur when I do it in New York, because I haven't nailed it fully to my satisfaction.
Right. Well, you're the only one on stage. It's a one man show, so it relies upon you, which is a big nut to crack. Is there any hesitation in doing a one-man show for you?
No, because I'm just finishing doing 5 years of touring with a one-man show that I did on FDR.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a good training ground for me, far different from a man and his prostate.
Indeed.
Most of those 5 years I spent trying to find how much more I could make laughs occur,
mm-hmm.
Building up my laugh stock in the show. It was always successful. We at least 150 cities I played in.
Wow.
But it was a good experience.
So I always wonder, when I see a one-person show, the process of memorizing lines, which to me is extremely daunting. Do you have any tips for how to do this successfully?
Well, we do have our tricks, Valerie.
Oh.
Yes. In my case, I sometimes use a bug or an earwig so that somebody on script is there to give me a hint, a clue, if and when I falter.
Mm-hmm. I like that idea. That's good.
Yeah, in FDR we used it twice, and the last time. And then I didn't, at least 4 of those years of FDR were done without any help at all.
Mm-hmm.
But in the last year, because there was so much time between gigs, and it would be very tedious to go back and relearn, so
sure.
I used a bug.
Right.
The last time I used it, I had to resort to two prompts.
Mm-hmm.
To keep me going.
Listen, I think whatever works, you know, it's a huge amount of material to learn, and I say whatever works, which is great. You know, last time, Ed Asner, you were on the New York stage, it was Broadway and it was Grace. What do you like about being on stage as opposed to film or television?
Well, you're certainly in charge. Grace was the play you're talking about. I did it with Paul Rudd and Michael Shannon, and they were both excellent. My admiration of those two guys is unbounded. And they've gone on to great success, of course, as many other characters they play. You're the captain of your ship when you're on stage.
Mm-hmm.
You can make or break yourself. The director has clipped your wings and tried to get you to fly in a straight line, and you may decide to do a few arabesques before. before it's too late to stop you.
Well, I'm looking forward to your arabesques. When you come to New York, A Man and His Prostate at the Metropolitan Room, Friday, January 15th, Saturday, January 16th. Ed Asner, it's been a pleasure, and I thank you for your time today.
You sound like a lovely woman, and that piques my interest.
I hope to see you at the Metropolitan Room.
I want to see you.
Okay. Thank you, Ed Asner. I'm Valerie Smaldone with Leslie Gold, and this is the Envision Radio Network.
Cheap Psych Tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Can you keep a secret? Well, it may depend on your, get this, birth order in the family. Here's the developmental science of it. It seems that the oldest brother or sister in a family can keep secrets better and longer than the other kids in the family. Mothers and fathers teach this strategy by saying, "Don't tell your little brother," and this translates to the real world. If you're bursting at the seams to tell a secret, make sure you only tell it to a firstborn individual. They'll keep it. Want to get a secret out of someone? The reverse is true. Go to the person who's the baby of their family, and they'll spill the beans every time. What's the cheap psychological trick? Keeping a secret is a valuable skill, but it's something that's taught before the secret can be kept. Check out my book, Cheap Psychological Tricks for Parents, at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Order in the court.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. Lynn moved into a new town with her kids, a pit bull, and two fish. But before the family could even unpack, the sheriff confiscated the pit bull and arrested Lynn. Now she's facing a large fine and possible jail time. But she had no idea owning a pit bull was breaking the law. She'd only been in town one day. Do you think she'll be found guilty? The Final Verdict after this.
The Movie Man 6-second review starts now.
For Star Wars nerds, it'll be lightsaber stiffies. For everyone else, The Force Awakens is still out of this world. I mean,
6-second reviews are brought to you by the flat out funniest comedy of the holiday season. Tina Fey and Amy Poehler are sisters, now playing.
There are many communities in the U.S. that prohibit pit bulls. As the owner of a pit bull, Lynn is responsible for being aware of the local ordinances before she moved. Lynn was found guilty, and that's the final verdict.